Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
So I really love this series, specifically just because of the idea behind it. You saw behind me, and you saw last week, we've been jumping into this series, a six-week series called Refined. And refined is not really a word that we use very often, unless maybe you work with like chemicals or materials. But that idea of being refined or refinement is the concept of making something pure, right? And so sometimes it has to do with like precious metals, like gold and silver. Sometimes it has to do with things like chemicals, right? The idea is to remove the impurities to get something back to its purest form. And for us, we as people who are following the Lord, people who live in a sinful world, an impure world, and we're filled with sin, impurities, we look, and as we follow God, we want God to refine our lives, to go through our lives and to remove the impurities that are in our souls, in our hearts, in our bodies, in our minds. And as we walk through this recovery journey, it is very much a refinement process. Our addiction is an impurity that plagues us, sin which plagues us. And so we must become refined. We must be refined. But the hard thing is, this refinement process is not always a comfortable one. When it comes to gold, the way that you refine gold, or I actually looked it up, there are multiple different new ways, but back in the olden times, the way that they would refine gold is they would put it into a crucible, and they would heat that crucible to the melting point of the gold so that they could separate the impurities from that which was pure, the gold. Now, we know gold doesn't have feelings, but I would imagine if it could speak and it did have feelings, it would not elect to go through the process of refinement because it's uncomfortable. It's superheated. It's that melting point. And for our lives, in order to be refined, in order for those impurities to be removed, there are periods where we have to get to that melting point. To allow our lives to be superheated by God so that the impurities burn away and what is left is holiness. And when we say holiness, what we mean is the ability to be used by God. The idea of being set apart for God, set apart from the world, the sinfulness, the worldliness that we get caught up in, being set apart from that to be used by the Lord. And so tonight, we're going to continue this series. We're going to take a look at a letter that Paul wrote to a church, and he talks about this refining process. And he encourages them, and he challenges them, and he reminds them of some important things. And so we're going to take a look at it because it should shape our mentality or our idea of the refinement process in our lives. Let's turn to the Lord and pray, though, before we dive into his word. Lord, we love you, Lord, and we know that you love us, Lord, and you want what is best for us. And what is best for us is purity, spiritual purity, moral purity, Lord, and we are anything but. And so, Lord, we look to you for the refinement process, Lord, that we would begin to look more the way that you want us to look and less the way that we want to look or that our flesh pulls us to look. Lord, we pray that you would use your word tonight to challenge and to encourage us, Lord, that we would not just walk away and go back to the same old, but that we would live differently because of what your word has taught us and said to us. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit would teach us, illuminate us, and help the words of your word to speak and to sink into our hearts. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. And so open with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. And so the Ephesian church was a church that Paul very much cared for. If you don't know Paul, he wrote a very sizable portion of the New Testament. He was an apostle. He was actually a Christian hunter and had Christians murdered, was met by Jesus, and Jesus radically transformed his life to the point where he was an apostle, like I said, wrote a majority of the New Testament. And so he is writing to this this Ephesian church, this church in the city of Ephesus, and he cares very much for them. He's been paying attention to them. And so he writes this letter to encourage them, to challenge them, to let them know of his care for him. And so we pick up in Ephesians 1 where he begins to talk about this continual refinement process or this growth process. He says this, follow along Ephesians 1 starting in verse 15. We're going to be here all night, so keep your finger in the Bible, keep the Bible open, because we'll be diving in piece by piece to what it says here. So he says, verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him. So there's a couple of things that I think is really interesting here. The first thing is Paul says he has this continual mindset of prayer for them, that he does not cease to give thanks to them. He does not cease to remember them in his prayers. And then he has a specific prayer for them. And partly when I look at the Ephesian church, there's a little bit of jealousy in my heart, right? I wish that Paul had said this to me, right? That Paul was continually giving thanks for me, that he was remembering me in his prayers, because clearly he sees what they're doing and he gives them this encouragement saying, good job. You are doing what you are supposed to be doing, right? I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I've heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, right? They're doing the right things, but what he tells them is not only are you doing a great job, but as I pray for you, I pray that you keep up the good work. That you keep up the good work. He says, hey, you are doing all these fantastic things. I've heard about your faith. I've heard about the way that you love. And I'm so thankful that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. But he continues, he says, but my prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That you would continue in this process of knowing God, of seeking God, of understanding the things that God has laid out for you, that this process of growth, this process of refinement, the process of following God would not be something that stops in you. A lot of times when it comes to recovery, I think we have this mindset, and we may not set an arbitrary or official number, but we say, oh, once I get to this point, I can kind of ease up on this whole recovery journey thing. Once I get to this many days clean or this many years clean, then I can maybe, you know, loosen some of the boundaries. Then I can maybe start hanging back in those old places. Then maybe I can stop pushing to follow God. I can stop pushing to cut sin, impurities out of my life. Maybe I am pure enough and the refinement process has no more place in my life.
But what I love here is in verse 15 through 17, Paul says, great job, keep it up. Great job, don't get lax. Great job. My prayer is that you would constantly be pursuing and receiving wisdom and knowledge of God. You don't fully know God. We can't fully know God, but my prayer is that you keep trying to know him. That you keep seeking his wisdom in all the stages of your life, in all the stages of your brothers and sisters' lives as they walk through different things and different processes, that you would have the wisdom and knowledge of God to live and to care. He says, this whole salvation thing, this whole following Christ thing, this whole being a believer in Jesus thing, it's an ongoing thing. It's a process. It's not just for a time, but a life of continued refinement. If you feel like you're done, you aren't. It was interesting. I was sitting with a couple of location pastors today, and we were talking about how recently in some of our different locations, we felt like the people who've been most motivated to see other people come to know Jesus are the people who are newest to our church. And so we started to talk a little bit about what that looked like. And one of the things that we kind of came to the conclusion of is they vividly remember, because it was recent, the need for a continual push for God in their lives. And some of the people who have been sitting in church for a super long time and have kind of fallen apathetic towards inviting people and apathetic towards reaching people the gospel, they have stopped pushing. They've given up on this ongoing pursuit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of God. Your walk with Jesus is your forever walk. This walk with Jesus carries into eternity, guys. It's not just something that we look at and say, oh, well, I just need to know Jesus during this hard point in my life. I just need to know Jesus during the rock bottom, and then I'll find a new friend group. Then I'll find a new satisfaction, a new hobby that isn't Tuesday night. I'll fill my Tuesday night. I'll fill my Sunday morning up with something else. I needed church. I needed God for a time, but now I've got it mostly figured out. No, Paul says, my prayer for you is that you keep doing what you're doing and that you continue to grow in your wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of God. This refinement process is just that, a process. It's not a one-time deal. Constantly, we look and we say, we are imperfect sinners. No matter how long you've been a believer, you sin. Impurity finds its way back. Impurity will continue to find its way into our lives until we find ourselves in eternity in heaven with God. And so there is a continual need for refinement. And so Paul, as he continues to write, as he tells them what he's praying for in them, he says, this is the path to keep that process going. He says this, verse 18. This is what he continues to pray for them. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And so what does Paul do here? He says, my prayer for you is that you would continue to gain wisdom, revelation, and knowledge in him. And the place where you can always find that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he lays out here. He really tells the story of the gospel. You have received these riches, this glorious inheritance because of Jesus Christ. You, your inheritance is sin. And that sin leads you to an eternity in hell. An eternity separated from God. You pursued that. That is your minimum wage. You sought disobedience. You sought war with God. You sought doing it your own way rather than God's way. And so you are destined for an eternity in hell. But God loved you enough to switch up the inheritance. And Christ, who deserves these riches and glorious inheritance, he took your inheritance. He lived a perfect life, came to earth as both God and man, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, and took our sin upon himself. Died, suffering the consequence of that sin, living that inheritance, and raising again, conquering. And it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it says in Romans 10. That salvation that Christ gives us, this salvation that only Christ can give us, gives us this glorious inheritance. And we see that he has this immeasurable greatness and power towards us who believe. That's what it says in 19. According to the work of his great might. And he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand of the heavenly places. He says, this is what has happened. This salvation, this flip in your life from death to life, from enmity or war with God to now being a child of God, to being a dead person, to being a new creation. This gospel is this path of refinement. Now, I can imagine if you've been around recovery for a period of time, you maybe have said to yourself, Justin, why week in and week out do you take time out of your message and highlight the gospel? You take an extended period of your message and you always point it back to the gospel, right? I know the gospel. I've heard the gospel. And really what I say that there's two reasons why I do that. The first one is each week there are people in this room who have never heard the gospel. And the reason that I take time each week to share the gospel, to highlight the gospel, to give a very clear gospel presentation is because my prayer is that they would hear the gospel and they would be reconciled to God. Amen. That they would hear the gospel, that they would believe in Christ Jesus, and that they would follow him with their lives. And every opportunity that I have to preach the gospel, I will do so because I see the desperate need of the gospel in my life. And I know that we all need the gospel. But the second reason that I do it is to remind each and every one of us of what we are doing and why we are doing it. Paul is not writing this section where he highlights the gospel to try and save the Ephesian church. He's writing to a church. The thought is, they already know the gospel. They already believe the gospel. And so he spends this time highlighting the gospel as part of the growth process or part of the refinement journey. As he looks and he says, the gospel is not just something you hear once and are saved. The gospel is not just something that you have to recognize and then you set it on the shelf to look at it to make sure that you're getting to heaven. He says, the gospel is your life. That the gospel is good news, it is truth, it is salvation, it emphasizes where our focus should be, it reminds us of what we've been called to, it is the reason we are refined, the reason we are purified, because we are forgiven, we are given meaning, and we are called to holiness by what the gospel has done in our lives. And so there is this continual need to remind ourselves of the gospel. When you hear the gospel, you should not be. And if this is your heart, I would encourage you to take some time this evening and pray about it. You should not be, oh, here he goes into the gospel again. You should look and go, praise Jesus for the gospel every single time I hear it. Why? Because it is a constant reminder of what Christ has done in my life and a constant reminder of what Christ is calling me to in my life, which is greater and greater and greater holiness, purity from the sin which he saved me from. That I look and say, I've been saved from my disobedience, so yank me out of it. Refine me, put me in the crucible, because I have been done, but it's crept its way in, and Christ, through the gospel, you remind me time and time and time again, that is what I need to be at war with, not you, God. And so we look, and we see the gospel, we hear the gospel. The reason why I preach the gospel week in and week out is that I pray that whether you are a believer that's believed for 30, 40, 50, 70 years, or you've never believed, that you hear the gospel and you look and you say, thank God for the gospel. Let me live differently because of it. Let my actions be further refined. Whether they've been being refined for 70 years or this is the first time they're being refined. That we look at the gospel and we are regularly reminded of the work of Jesus, his death and resurrection, and that it's something that we regularly reflect on because his work means death is defeated. And that it's this source of encouragement as we rage, as we fight, as we seek purity from the sinful world we live in. And so, how can we remain encouraged? How can we cling to this hope? How can we remain focused? Well, Paul continues. Verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. He's describing where Christ is. And above every name that is formed, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the power of our Savior. And if you look here, it says he is giving us this fullness. We are his body. He's been placed over us. And so we look here and say, the power of Christ, the power of our Savior, is what is empowering us. Sometimes we like to rage against, or not sometimes, I'd say a lot of times, we like to rage against our sin by our own strength and power. We like to say, oh, well, we'll come and focus back on the gospel once we've dealt with our sin. God, I'll spend some time praying once I get this addiction thing figured out. But I love this whole process that Paul lays out, because throughout it, he is constantly pointing as he's saying, this is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for what happens in your life. And then here's all the ways that God is accomplishing it in you. Here's all the ways that God plays into it. Notice that as he talks about this idea of growth, he doesn't say, yeah, and that you guys might figure it out on your own. That you guys might come to your senses, you dummies. That you guys might just have a little bit more self-control in and of yourselves. That you might just be better, that you might just be stronger. He constantly points to how great our God is, how better our Savior is, how strong and majestic, and the ways in which Christ is above all these things. Because he looks and he says, the only way that that refinement process will continue to happen in you is that you have to cling to the one who is doing the refining. The gold does not heat itself in the crucible. It relies on him who is purifying. And the same is true for us in our lives. We do not do the refining in our lives. Christ does. And so what must we do? We must cling to the refiner. Even in the difficult. Even in the discouraging. Even in the frustration, even in the fear, even in the anxiety, in the anger, in the failure, we know we rely on him who is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. The gospel is such a source of encouragement in our lives. Why? Because we rely not on you and I, failures, screw-ups, but that we rely on Christ, who is described here as far above. The power of our Savior, the one who has empowered us, that as his body, he empowers us to live for greater and greater holiness. Some of you in this room are incredibly discouraged tonight because you are seeking greater and greater holiness on your own terms and your own strength, and you can't figure out why it's not working out. And you feel discouraged, you feel defeated, and you feel like a terrible Christian, unworthy of God. The only thing that makes you worthy of God is not your effort, is not your success or failure. It is Christ Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. That is why the gospel is important for us to hear week in and week out. Because in those days where we struggle, in those days where we fail, in those days where we have successes and great joys, and we find ourselves looking more and more like Christ, we look and in all the same, in every season, in every situation, we always point to Christ. We always point to the gospel. I had success today because Christ had a mighty work in me. I had failure today because I let the flesh creep back into me. We look and we say, Christ is mighty, and we cling to him. He is our salvation. He empowers us and he moves us towards greater and greater holiness, a continual pursuit of refinement in our lives. And so my question to you this week is, what do you need gospel power to fight this week? Talked about the power of the gospel in our lives. What is it that you're wrestling with this week that you need gospel power to fight? And I know the churchy answer is everything. That's the truth, right? I mean, that really is the truth, everything. But there are some specific things. I want you to be specific as you think about that question. What is some things that you have tried to keep separate from the gospel, that you've tried to be working on according to your own strength, or that you don't want to let touch the gospel because you know that the impurities will just light on fire? What are some things, some specific things, or what's one specific thing? It doesn't need to be a ton, that you need to rely on the power of the gospel in your life this week to fight. My encouragement to you would be to truly think about that. Don't just brush it off. If you're feeling conviction in your life right now, that's the Holy Spirit weighing down on you. And my prayer for you would not be to just bear the weight that the Holy Spirit is placing on you, but to give in to what the Holy Spirit is laying on you. And so we'll have table leaders down front here. If you need prayer, if you want to talk about that specific thing, maybe you've never shared that before, there are people down here who would be more than willing to talk to you about that, to share, for to allow you to share that with them, to maybe pray for you. If you don't want to talk about it, you want to pray in your seat, feel free to do that during this next song, or feel free to spend some time over the course of the night praying about that. But if you need some people who maybe you need to talk about the gospel to, maybe you need some encouragement from the gospel, you need prayer, you need whatever it is, there'll be table leaders down here who would love to encourage you in that. But I would encourage you to not look at the table leaders as Savior, but to look to what they are trying to point you to, which is Christ. That they look and say, he is your source for salvation. He is your source for strength. He is your source because he produced the gospel, gave us the gospel, lived the gospel for us. But my encouragement to you is to look and say, throughout this refinement process, let the gospel be that which encourages you, challenges you, and gives you a continual direction as you walk this process of refinement. Let's pray. Lord, it is difficult sometimes to follow you. Other times it's easy and refreshing, but sometimes it can be defeating and discouraging. Lord, in your gospel meets us all the same. It encourages us when we feel defeated, and it rejoices with us when it's refreshing. Lord, it helps us, it guides us, because it reminds us of the truth of which you've called us, the truth of which you've done for us, and the truth of the meaning that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to move us towards greater and greater holiness. Lord, that this evening we would reflect on your gospel, and that we would let your Holy Spirit show us what is not congruent in our lives, which doesn't line up to the gospel you've called us to, and that you would help us to continually be refined. That we would live holy lives, that we would pursue holy things, and that we would look more and more like your Son. Christ, we ask all these things in your mighty, holy, powerful name, a name that is above every other name, your name, Jesus, Lord. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.